Well, hello and welcome to How to Love Your Body. Today, we are talking about making the vague concept of intuitive eating into a step-by-step process and why that is important. So the idea of intuitive eating and undieting, it is big. It can be overwhelming. It's very vague. It's intangible. But this work can be made more tangible. It can be more action-based. It can be doable. So that is what we want to talk about today. Because a major barrier for most people in undieting is that it's a philosophy or this idea that's kind of up in the clouds that people can generally understand. It's like, I understand the concept. I can getting behind it. I understand its value. I understand I want that for myself. I want to live in that way. But how do I bring it from like a big concept in the clouds down to earth so I can actually do it? That is the real disconnect for so many people. So since they aren't sure what to do, then they get stuck in learning and learning and learning more. And soon enough, you might be in the situation, you subscribe to every podcast, you've read every book on the topic, you follow every intuitive eating counselor on Instagram, but not much has actually changed in your relationship with food. You haven't actually taken tangible action steps to change things. You haven't done tangible mindset work with actually following some steps and done anything. You're just listening, listening, learning, reading, which is so amazing, a really important part of the process. But how do you kind of bridge that gap from learning and consuming content to actually doing something about it? So of course, sometimes people will have big aha moments just from listening to this philosophy. Like if you've never addressed the idea that, hey, maybe your body's all right just the way it is. Maybe pursuing that weight loss for the past 20 years wasn't what you needed. And some people can have big ahas just from being introduced to that concept. And that's so good. However, if that isn't you, if you don't feel completely transformed just to from listening to this information and you're feeling stuck, we have a lot of great insights to share with you because this can be more tangible. There really are steps to take to work towards things like ending binge eating, stopping mental restriction, which I know seems like a very vague concept, like mental restriction, what does that even mean? So that can be really hard for people, but stopping physical restriction as well, even body image work and pursuing wellness without the obsession. All of this can be broken down into much more tangible work. So I believe that a lot of these step-by-step instructions aren't talked about very much by different intuitive eating experts because these experts and teachers, they already live it. So they just do these things. It's second nature to them now. So they don't consciously realize, what are the steps I'm doing to actually achieve this? So what we've done over the last 6 or 7 years while we've been undieters and intuitive eaters is observe ourselves. We do this a lot. Lauren and I will come back together and be like, oh, this happened. So I was wondering like, well, why did that happen? How did that happen? How did I get here from dieting? And we break down our own processes along with everything we've learned as intuitive eating counselors to end these things. So like, how did we stop restricting? How did we end binge eating? What if someone wanted to do this too? What would we say to do each step of the way? And that's what we've really been trying to focus on the past years. And so we wanted to share a bit of what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. So an example that we want to share about is ending binge eating, because we know that's a big one for a lot of people. Not everybody has experienced binge eating, but the people that we have come across have, most of them, and so have we. So we do believe this will be a good example to share, like, what are you like this step-by-step process? What are you talking about? So here we go. So the advice that is often given is to allow all foods and stop restricting. That's what most people say if they're sharing with you on how to end binge eating. Just allow the food and do not restrict them. And that's actually really great advice. Like if somebody is saying that, that is somebody you probably want to listen to because that is absolutely true. But then you may be saying like, maybe you don't even know to say this, or maybe you say this, but it's like, okay, that makes sense. But how do I actually do that? So it sounds easy. It sounds logical and straightforward. Like, of course, you just eat. But as ex-dieters, we know it's not that simple, because if it were, we wouldn't be in this mess in the first place. Like, if food was simple and we could just stop restricting and just be all cool with food, then we would never be dieters. So we do want to help you break it down into a process. So before that, here are a few of the steps that we recommend you take on your way to ending binge eating. So the first is the mindset shift. We do talk a lot about mindset. Most of it is mindset, actually. But it must be understood that eating the food regularly is what ends this cycle, and especially eating the food that you restrict and that you don't allow. Basically, that's what you need to be eating regularly. So if you feel worried about eating chips, for example, not eating them now may lead to eating much more later on, or binge eating. Because if you restrict the chips, we all know, we've all been there, you're going to eat a lot more later on than if you just ate them when you wanted them in the first place. Not that the goal is to eat less, but if we push eating the food until we can't resist anymore, we will just eat it when our defenses are down, which turns into a binge. You know that moment where you're just like, oh, screw it, like whatever. Or like you have a taste of something and it's just like everything just goes under the rug and you are just like on a mission to eat as much as possible and go as hard as you can on the food that you're not allowing yourself to have. Definitely have been there. So this is like suppressing anger until you burst. Expressing emotions more regularly and more gently feels much better and is much healthier, because it's the same with food. You definitely don't want to hold on to all your emotions, because I'm pretty sure we've probably all been there where you're upset about something or something irritates you and you just hold on to it and you're like, don't make a big deal, it's fine, don't say anything. And then the more you don't say anything, the more the eruption happens. We're not saying the eruption is bad. Sure, go release anger in a very healthy way, punch a bag, punch a pillow, scream in your car, whatever. But the point is if you're going to just hold on to that, it'll probably release in a very toxic, just way that could have been dealt with if you were just to release it more regularly. So we do want to bring up a conversation that we had before we started the podcast. Jenna and I were always like chatting, and then we're starting to talk and we're like, oh my gosh, we need to press record. This is such a good conversation to have with everybody. So we're like, okay, let's bring it into the podcast. So what we want to talk about is that we were both in the binge restrict cycle for 10 years. And I just kind of started saying like, but why? Because we knew we were going to binge. Like, it was like, it's not like not eating the food was like, okay, well, this is just going to be my last binge and I'm never going to binge again, so I'm just going to stop eating it and it's fine. It's like the binge always returned. So what were we thinking? And this is like how we kind of brought up this conversation.
Yeah. And I think for me, because we're talking about this, we're like, well, it makes so much sense now that we know what we know. It's like, yeah, being so good. I was definitely like a weekend binger. So I was all week really focused on, and obviously I didn't always make it to the weekend, but that was kind of my intention, was like, in the week I eat really good, and then the weekend I'll have like a free for all. Either pre-planned or I just like went wild and couldn't control myself. And I really, yeah, you would think with the information I now have that, why didn't I figure out that out sooner? That, okay, I clearly see a pattern. The problem is coming from this restriction and then I'm binging. But I never saw it that way. I saw the dieting in the week as like a normal state of being. I saw restriction. I saw counting calories. I saw restricting carbs as what I should be doing, as normal, as like status quo. And then the binging was a big issue that clearly I just couldn't control myself. So it is a real messaging from diet culture that like, hey, it's super normal to diet. It's super normal to not eat food groups or to restrict calories. So if you're having any repercussions from that, that's your problem, because you should be able to do this. And I think that's a huge reason why you might have been stuck in the cycle for way longer than necessary. Because now when we have that understanding, of, oh, it's like emotion. If I don't tell my partner that something's irritating me, then next week I'm going to scream and have this huge drag out fight because the dishwasher is loaded wrong. It's like, oh, wait, it would have been much healthier to just talk about things when they come up in a more gentle manner. Or if I'm having internal feelings, go punch that punching bag and let it out. Having that consistent release is going to be much, much healthier than suppression and then explosion. Well, it's the same with food. And once you have that education and understanding, I do believe it's easier to move forward. Because if you truly get and understand and believe, you have to believe it, that, oh, yes, when I try to suppress my eating, it like kind of think of it as a scale. Like when I push this side down, this side goes up, and it's going to happen every time. It's not my fault. It's inevitable. It's biology. It's just how it works. So yeah, if I increase my eating on this side, then this part of the scale is going to go back down and we're going to be more even. Things are going to be more even keeled. I can just eat the food here and there without having any sort of explosion. And so I do think when we understand that, we can move forward in a way that we can heal that cycle. But I know that's why I did it for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Because I really saw dieting as the norm and what I should be able to do all the time. And the binging as like, oh, I'm so gross. There's something wrong with me.
Right. And it was just so accepted to be in the space of being such a quote unquote, like good dieter. Like nobody was saying, well, there's something wrong with you that you're skipping the dessert. There's something wrong with you that you're eating so quote unquote healthy during the week. It was like, wow, you're so good. You're so amazing. I wish I had the discipline like you. It was like so accepted that if you weren't doing that, you felt like you were doing something wrong. But then of course, those behaviors is what was leading up to the binge. And then I do believe it's so extreme and so black and white that when you do binge, you eat so much and you feel so uncomfortable, like physically, it just brings you right back into restriction, because not only do you have to get back to the behaviors that are the norm, which is not the norm, but you have to fall back into your dieting because that's what you should be doing. You also feel so physically sick, most likely from binging, that it you naturally almost restrict because you're so overly full. So it's like it's a lose-lose situation. You're physically unable to eat probably very quickly. I mean, of course you eat again, but it's like the physical part and then the mental part of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. And now I need to be good. I need to go back. So it's like that restrict binge cycle is like a beast, really. It's like that can, and I understand why people get so locked in for so long, because nobody tells us that it's actually an unhealthy cycle. It's like the restrict cycle is important. Yeah.
Unhealthy, but that's only because of diet culture saying eating lots of food is bad.
Right. But the reason we're in that cycle is because we're praised to be in the restrictive cycle. It's really interesting. So that's why being able to shift the mindset, see, you know, of course this podcast can go on for forever if we share every part of it, but just like when you see food as neutral or you don't put morality in food and you actually allow all food and it's okay to eat the cake, it's okay to eat the kale, it's okay to eat all of it, then it becomes less powerful. And then you can just eat it naturally, like the ebb and flow. Like you're still going to feel full sometimes. You're still going to, you know, eat less veggies sometimes, and that's okay. But there's just like a variety, and there's no like huge swing of like massive restriction to like massive binging. It's like very much ebb and flowing towards the middle. And that's where you can live forever, because you're ebb and flowing and it's always going to change. But it always feels pretty, pretty good. Exactly. And yeah, exactly. So another thing that happens is that you're preoccupied with food when you're not eating the foods that you want regularly. So it's that feeling of, you know, not being able to focus because you know there's ice cream in the freezer or whatever food is in your house. If you're restricting it, you think about it all the time. Like, you know it's there and you are like counting down the days until you can eat it. And then you binge on it, of course, because you weren't allowing it throughout the week. And, you know, it's just, it really, all of this thinking about food all day long is because you're just not eating it and allowing yourself to eat it on a regular basis. So these are things that we want to start shifting as we begin to end binge eating. And you may be fearful of eating the food, but eating it regularly is how, like, it's such the how to move away from the diet binge cycle and into undieting. So we will go into like the steps that we've been talking about. So you're like, okay, this is all making sense. Great job, girls. But like, where are my steps? How do I actually do this? So Jenna's going to go into a step-by-step process of how you actually do this. Like step one, step two, like we want it to be so tangible that you can actually make this your reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that that step of real, like having that analogy of, okay, if I keep suppressing this, it's going to explode. That is going to bring you to a place of food neutrality. Because you realize, okay, yeah, I could be afraid of those cookies and think it's so bad if I eat those, but I understand that if I don't, this is the outcome. And I do think that mindset shift is a really important step one that we don't always talk about. But here are the tangible steps that you can take to end binge eating. This doesn't happen overnight, but this is the sequence of events that needs to occur. So step one, you need to identify your binge foods. So write a list. What are the foods that you binge on? And there might be a couple categories here. The first is like the primary foods, because I know for me, there was like primary foods like potato chips, baked goods, carb items usually. But yeah, I've definitely had binges on like, I remember making this whole tray of chicken thighs one time with like gross Daiya cheese melted on top because that's all I had in the house and I was so hungry and I was binging. But I wouldn't really count that as a binge food. That was just like a situation that I was in where that was the only food available. But what are the foods you would choose to binge on? So you want to make that list. And then the second thing you need to identify is your binge times, kind of your binge patterns. So this is all just sitting down and writing things down, right? It's reflection. We need to reflect first before we can move forward. So you need to identify, like, do I binge at night after the kids have gone to bed? Is it on the weekends when it's a free-for-all? Am I always alone? Like, identify those factors of when the binge eating happens. And then step three is getting these foods into the house. So you've identified the foods. You know this is scary, but this is important. So you've identified those foods. So those are the foods you need to go buy. If you can afford to put a bit of money into buying these now, that is going to help later. So many people I've talked to recently are like, I'm saving so much money from not binge eating, or binge eating is costing me so much money. I need to get this out of control, because, you know, you have a whim of, oh, I want to binge. And then you go buy all this food from usually like a convenience store or somewhere where it's not like, you're not going to Costco and buying it in bulk. You're usually like going to the nearest place. And it can be expensive. Money is no object when you're in a binge. And so you need to put a bit of money up front to buy the food to have it in the house. But I promise in the long run, it will save you money. So getting these foods into the house, though, here's a tip. It is best to do this on a normal grocery run, not a special trip. Because we want to normalize these foods. So purchasing the potato chips, saying that's your binge food, along with the broccoli and your yogurt and the chicken, that's a good first step, because it's just saying, oh, these chips are just like any other food and I'm buying it alongside the other foods I'm buying. Step four is to store these quote-unquote special foods where you keep other foods. No more special chocolate drawers, no hiding the chips in a different cupboard. Get it all out there in the open beside the cans of soup or the frozen peas. For me, I like my chocolate in the freezer and it's right beside like the frozen peas and the frozen fruit. And so it's just another food. Put it in normal food locations. Do not have special food spots for these things and do not hide them. If you do have the issue of, if I bring potato chips in here, my three teenage sons are going to eat them all in 2 days and I'll have none for me, and that leaves me feeling scarce, You may have to set some boundaries with your family of, okay, I've bought enough for everybody, but these two bags of chips are mine. Don't portion them out or anything like that. But if you buy like three big bags of chocolate, say one is yours, because I think that's all right. I get that some people are used to like hoarding food or hiding food, but this is different. This is just setting a boundary of, hey, I've bought some for everybody. You can eat it freely too, but I want to know this is here when I want it. Because that abundant mindset of like, oh, that whole bag of chocolates is going to be there when I want it is really going to help. If you're feeling scarce because you're worried everyone else is going to eat it, you're going to have bigger barriers in like being able to eat the food normally. So that's an important step. So step five, okay, so just to summarize, we know what our binge foods are. We know when we binge and kind of like the situation around it. We've now brought the food into the house. We've put the food in areas that are normalized. We're not hiding it or anything. We may have kind of set boundaries which are ours, so we know it's there. Then step five is to eat these foods at times and situations outside of your binge kind of norms, I'll call it. Because it's both times, like time of day, it's situation, like if you're always alone, if it's, you know, whatever things happened in the day. And so after a stressful day, you always binge, whatever it is. This is how we begin normalizing the food, is eating the food outside of your binge norms. So if you always eat potato chips alone after the kids have gone to bed, get a bowl of chips out with your family. If, I'll tell you how to do that in a second. But this is how we begin normalizing the food, but this won't necessarily result in binge eating ending immediately. It most likely won't. You do need to push through some of this discomfort at first, and you may binge on the foods you brought into your house, but don't think of that as like, oh, I failed, I can't do this. Because that, like trying it one time and then it not quote unquote working immediately and then going back to your old ways, it's never going to get you anywhere. So you have the food in the house, it's readily available, you're eating it outside of your binge times. This may still result in falling into old patterns, but keep going through these steps again and again and again until it works. And I think that's another barrier for people, is they do this one time, they bought, and we saw this with a few posts we did. We talked about this in a past podcast episode of like, bring food to the house. People are like, no, I can't do that. I bought chips and then I ate them all. It's like, well, yeah, it's not going to happen the first time you have chips in the house, mm-hmm. but you need to keep repeating these steps. So step six is normalizing the food. So yes, you're eating the foods not in kind of your binge norms, but how do you want to eat them? You don't want to eat them in the same way. Like, okay, I would take the bag of chips and I would just eat straight from the bag watching TV. Okay, well, you did that always at night. Now you're going to do that in the middle of the day. Well, we want to try to normalize the food. So here's some ways you can do that. Let's say chips are your binge food. You're making a sandwich for lunch. Put a nice handful of chips beside your sandwich. You can always get more, but for now, just make it a part of the meal. Bring the food with your other foods. It doesn't need to live on its own, like, oh, it's special potato chip time. No, get those chips among your other meals, among your other snacks. Another great way to do this, if it's something more specific, like candy, it's like, okay, well, I'm probably not going to put that beside my salad, but you might. Honestly, that's not a bad idea. But you can also just say, oh, I'm just going to have a bit after my lunch. In the Diet Collective, we talked about this before, hashtag lunch dessert. I'm a big fan, but that just normalizes the food. It's getting it into your daily life. And then step seven is to repeat this 10 times with each binge food. And then take stock with how it feels. So say, okay, potato chips. So now you've eaten potato chips in 10 different scenarios other than binging on it at night alone. And then this doesn't mean, oh, if you do this 10 times, you'll be healed. No, but that's a good time. Like, it's just to do it 10 times without overthinking it. Just do it. And then you think, okay, well, how am I feeling about that food now? How has my feelings about that food changed? Am I noticing any difference in my attitude about the food or in how I'm eating it? Have I been binging lately? And that's a great way to take stock of kind of where you're at. And then if you're like, wow, I'm still struggling, keep going. Or if, oh, I'm actually feeling pretty chill about potato chips, but whatever other food. I don't even know what people binge on anymore. It's been so long.
I mean, like ice cream, sweets.
Yeah.
Either like carbs or sweets, I would say.
Yeah, exactly.
Sugar or carbs or whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty typical because those are the foods we restrict. So yes. And then you might go, oh, I'm feeling pretty relaxed with chips. Like I have them with my lunch sometimes. Sometimes I'll have them in the evening when I'm watching TV, but it seems much more normal and balanced. So that's great. But ice cream, I'm still obsessing over. Okay. Then you go back through the steps with the ice cream. And this is how you're going to systematically heal this one small area of this work. And so this is, you can do this kind of step-by-step process in all areas of undieting, which is pretty cool.
And I think that if, let's just say you did start with chips, I feel like going through the process, it's, yes, it is very much about the chips, but it also is very much about the process and the mindset. So I do believe that the more you work through this process, it will naturally like flow to other foods. So
yeah,
don't,
I agree.
And I do feel like, yeah, sure. Like you may have to try this with other foods too, but don't be like, oh my gosh, there's like literally 40 different items. How am I going to do this? It's like, it'll all kind of like hodgepodge together. And it's almost just like, insert any food and do this process and it will naturally go to everything. And if there's no timeline, so take your time with this, go through the process, see what works for you. Maybe you've realized, oh, I added on this other step that's really helpful. You know, like we just have this, like the basis of it all. And like, you are your own personal person who's going to be going through this. So just see what works for you, but definitely try it out. And another thing, this could probably be added to the steps or just take note, is a lot of binging happens if you're like not eating enough during the day. So if you're not eating enough during the day, like if you're just busy or you're like, I'm not a breakfast person, so I skip it, or I have a busy this, like if you're ravenous at night, like that's going to really take on like a whole other level of like binge. If you're not eating enough during the day and you restrict food that you really actually want to eat, that's going to cause binging as well. So just also make sure that you are eating enough throughout the entire day. And I'm not saying you have to force feed yourself for breakfast if you don't like eating breakfast. I just say that because I'm not a super breakfast person. I eat breakfast every single day, but it's definitely not my like biggest meal of the day, just because I just don't want to. But I would never not eat breakfast because I know it's important to eat throughout the day. So then you just feel like, you know, you feel good throughout the day. So you never get like too ravenous. So just keep that as part of the process.
Yeah, it's so important. And that's why like here, yeah, we've explained the step-by-step process of how to kind of neutralize binge foods so that the binge eating isn't occurring with those specific foods. But also, like, we'll get into more specifics about the Undiet Collective and kind of how these lessons play out. But yeah, there's going to be lessons before that on like not restricting, period. So this is specifically about binge eating when certain foods are still having a hold on you. But yeah, there's going to be steps beforehand of like general restriction of like calories and stuff like that, that also needs to end for this to work. There are a lot of different elements, but the best way to do it is to break it down one thing at a time. Because as dieters, it's such a different philosophy. Like dieting is like, okay, here's, I remember, oh my God, like I vividly remember reading like a new diet book. Okay, I'm going to do this new plan. Man, that was exciting. It's like, I got to buy all these new foods and here's my schedule. And it's like everything on day one, you start it all immediately. Well, that's what you might want to do in this work, is like, I want to deal with all of the eating immediately and all my body image stuff and the movement stuff. I want to deal with it all today. It's like, that is not how this work works. This work of undieting and intuitive eating is like little baby steps. So instead of introducing it all on day one and then having it crash, which we know dieting does, is we're going to build little building blocks along the way. So this lesson that we just kind of shared with you is just one little building block in ending binge eating and becoming an intuitive eater, but it is a key block. And when, if you take that out, it all falls down. So that is really what these step-by-step processes are, It's like, okay, here's a little step-by-step process to add into your little building blocks. So that's an important thing to realize is, oh, I can take this one small step at a time. I don't have to quote unquote transform overnight.
It's actually going to take time. And that is good. So don't worry. There's no timeline for anybody. And I think that's also a very important part to this process is knowing that you can't look left and right and expect it to look the same. It's going to be whatever works for you. So please know that it can take time and that is good. So taking time with this work and each step, you know, in it, the more you take time with each step, it will stick. Like, we don't want to be like, oh, okay, I did through the seven steps and like, I'm okay. Like, we want you to like really go through it. And then maybe quite possibly it could stick, because going through those steps and really shifting that mindset, it just becomes second nature. And that's what we kind of like want to help you get to, is it's not like so hard to get through everything. It's like you have the steps, you work through them, take some time, and then it kind of just becomes like, you don't need to say, okay, am I on step four, step five? It's like, you just do it naturally. It's like just how you live, and you really embody this work. So that's, we want to give you very tangible work. And then we want to get you to a place where it just, you embody this naturally. So this work is big. And if you think about everything that goes into ending restricting and stopping mental restriction and ending binge eating, working on body acceptance, how to add wellness into a life that has nothing to do with dieting or pursuing weight loss, like, it's overwhelming. Like, it is a lot. So if you feel that, it's absolutely normal. And don't feel like, oh my gosh, this work is too much for me, I'm not able to do it. It's like, no, if you are feeling overwhelmed, that is a very normal feeling to feel, because it is overwhelming. And that's why we want to help you through these steps, because it can get very overwhelming. And if you don't know what you don't know, then you just sit there in a lot of overwhelm. And we don't want that for you. We want to actually, you know, break down like every lesson. And that's what we do in the Undiet Collective, is that we have very specific steps and lessons that we break down into actionable audio trainings, and there's checklists, and it feels like very manageable. And then once you kind of go through that step, then you know what to do, and then you go take the next step. So we have very much talked about throughout our entire, the Body Love Society, since it was created, we have talked about how, you know, other areas of work, it's so tangible. Like, you can go teach somebody how to build a business in a very tangible way. And those business coaches just like do this, and then the marketing step, and then the sales, like, it's this very tangible work. So it's like, of course people are going to go work with them. They're showing them exactly how to do what they did, and they become the successful business, hopefully. And with our work, with intuitive eating and body image, oh my gosh, it is so intangible that somebody may be like, yeah, your business is amazing and I love the work that you guys do, but it's so intangible that it's almost like, is it going to work for me? Like, and that's what we are really hammering down, is to create this so tangible that somebody could see it and be like, oh, that makes sense to me. And you are actually giving me a step-by-step process to help me transform and then embody this work and just live naturally. So that's really what we are really taking on.
Yeah. And it's exciting, because that is the way to make change, is to take steps in action and actually do stuff. Like, you have to take steps to change things in order for change to happen. Mm-hmm. So that's really what we're focusing. So on in the Undiet Collective membership, which is reopening end of June, there are five phases of lessons that we're breaking down. We're finalizing it all right now. It's been very exciting to create it for you guys. And so phase one is stepping out of diet culture and rebuilding food and body thoughts and beliefs. Phase two is making food easier and ending disordered eating habits. This is where we're going to be dealing with mental restriction, physical restriction, binge eating, emotional eating. And then the practicalities of, okay, now how do I practically eat intuitively? Because how do I meal plan? How do I deal with the food in the fridge when that might not be the food I want? So we talk about that. Phase three is body image and body respect. We've come to a pretty cool layout of how to make that tangible too. Phase four is movement and nourishment, or wellness with the obsession. So this is long-term sustainable wellness, which we know a lot of people still want to incorporate. And phase five is maintenance. So phase five is cool because as a member, we're going to always be adding new tools, new activities, new mindset shifts in the maintenance phase, which is also a great podcast, which is not ours, but it's very good. So go check that out. But this phase of maintenance is so important because yes, you go through the four phases, you get step-by-step processes, it becomes more second nature, and that it does become much, much easier, we promise. However, then you get to a place where, okay, then you go back into normal life with no support, everyone around you is dieting, and it does feel harder. Mm-hmm. So the maintenance phase in this process is really about just maintaining your freedom in a simple way that doesn't require much time or energy, but at least gives you little tools to keep going in this work so you don't backslide. So it's really, we're really excited.
It doesn't have to be like some like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be stuck here forever having to do this work. It's like more of a, you're just surrounding yourself with people who also do this type of work. So you have a place to feel like people understand you and get you. And yeah, the work doesn't have to be so hard. You're kind of at the place where you're like, oh, this feels really good to me, and I would like to continue to keep this up. It's kind of like like we always say, like in a relationship or any other area of your life, you don't just like stop working on your relationship because you had a good year, or you don't just stop working on personal growth because you got through a phase of your life that was really hard, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, nothing ever is going to happen to me ever again. I'm going to just like live in this place. It's like you're constantly learning and growing for the rest of your life. So this is kind of where this maintenance phase is. It's just continue to do the work, continue to be in this place. And it, yes, it doesn't have to be so hard. And it's just like, you know, be here. And I do believe that's why I feel like I have been feeling so good in this area. Of course, we do this work. But I think that's why it's like I found this work, and then just like talking about it every single day and being in it every single day and thinking about like, oh, how did I just do that? How can, like Jenna said, how did we do that? Let's share with our, you know, community on like a step-by-step process. So I'm constantly in the mindset of just working through food and body stuff. And I feel like if I wasn't here talking about it every day, it would be very hard to maintain this forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why we're really excited to be opening this up end of June. We will share more details about the phases, the step-by-step lessons that are in each phase soon. Doors are reopening to the membership at the end of June. And remember, this is, if you were kind of contemplating the membership before, this is definitely the time to join because we have really overhauled it. It's been simplified, but made more tangible more beneficial, really, because we're really taking you step by step through it. Whereas before we had this amazing, it's still housed in the app. So, but we're kind of framing as more of a membership because this is a program. Like this is a membership. This is a program. This is support. This is coaching. This isn't just an app that you're going to log on to, but it happens to be housed in an app so that you can access it every day. But you can also go on your computer on it as well. Mm-hmm. But we're really excited because we are, instead of just offering up a bunch of resources, which kind of Bandai Collective 1.0 was like, here's a bunch of resources and coaching for you in this work, which tons of people have found so much value from, but there's still a few that are like, okay, but like, where do I start? What should I focus on first? And so, and we coach.
We're like, we need to know exactly what to tell these people. This is exactly where you start, and this is exactly how you do it. So it actually was really helpful. Of course, when you start something new, it's not just that's just what it's going to be forever. So we have loved the beginning of working with all the members of the Undiet Collective, and we have learned so much from everybody, and we're so glad that it has been valuable, and we've learned how to up level it, which is, I guess, you know, that's what you do, right?
Yes, we're so excited. So you, if you want more information when that reopens, kind of the details all about it, just to learn more about the collective and the community and the membership, you can go to our waitlist at thebodylovesociety.com/undietwaitlist. And when you go there, it's just, you just enter your name and email. And then once we start opening, once we are sending out all the information for the new and improved membership, you'll be the first to know. You'll be the first to have the opportunity to join. And we cannot wait. We're really excited to give that personal support along with the step-by-step guidance. So join that waitlist at thebodylovesociety.com/undietwaitlist if you are interested in learning more. And we can't wait to see you in there. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye.